Welcome, everyone. I want to thank everyone for coming here. I'd like to thank all of the Foschers and everyone who made the center possible, and of course, our founder, Master Sheng Yan, and I'd like to thank Min for translating for me.
大家好。首先我想感谢今天到场的每一位，每一位佛友，感谢法师，感谢所有的人，感谢我的翻译，使大家能够今天能够成就这个演讲。
My topic today is the topic of the self, and it is a very intricate, difficult topic in Buddhism.And that actually explains the title of my talk, There is No Self, Really? Then who's reading this or who's listening to this now? Last week, Chang Wen Fosher gave a talk about smashing illusions, images, concepts. And the concept of the self is the king of illusions. It is the most pervasive kind ofimage, concept, thought that we have.
今天我要讲的主题呢是跟自我有关的，在佛教当中这是一个非常难以理解的一个深奥的一个话题，这也解释了为什么我今天的讲座的题目是说无我，如果无我的话，那么又是谁在听讲座，谁在给讲座呢？上一周呢，长门法师给大家讲了一个讲座，题目是关于一些虚幻的东西，比如说我们的影像啊，我们的概念啊，这种虚幻的。
So I could actually organize my whole talk around a very short joke, which some of you may know, and I'll tell it very brief about two old ladies.At a restaurant in an upstate resort. One lady turns to the other and says, the food here is terrible. And the other lady turns to her and says, yes, and they give you such small portions.
其实我想今天我的讲座可以总结为一个笑话。比如说在纽约上周的一个旅游景点里，有两个老妇人在一个餐馆里，然后一个老妇人说，今天的食物真是太糟糕了。然后另外老妇人说，是啊，他们给你这么小份儿。
So I could read a lot into that. So the first lady is someone who is living in the real world, who actually discerns things as they are. The second lady, because of habitual tendencies, because of her views of the world, is coming up with an idea that is absolutely counter to her best interests. And from this you can also extrapolate, it's something that will be very important to keep in mind in the talk, the two truths, which is an important understanding in Buddhism, that there's an absolute understanding the way the world works, and there's the way that we see the world. We unenlightened sentient beings move through the world.
所以我可以从两个老妇人谈话中这么来解读他们的对话。第一个老妇人是活在现实当中，是这样子的。两个老妇人，第一个老妇人说这个食物很糟糕的是活在一个现实生活中，然后第二个老妇人说这个食物分量很小的，是在一个误解当中，因为他同意了第一个老妇人的这样一种观点，他的见解是不正确的。
Okay, and so if there's one message that I'd like people to take from this talk, it's that there's really no need to run away from yourself, as tempting as that might be.
如果今天大家听完讲座之后有所收获的话，我希望那一点是，首先就是说没有必要逃避自我。
Okay, so our ordinary self, the way that we perceive ourselves, the way that we perceive the world, it seems very, very simple in a sense. Myself, it's what it's like to be me. It's my arm, my eyes, my head, my body, my experiences, my knowledge, the people that I know. it seems to be fairly cut and dried. That's how we see the self, and ordinary sentient beings don't even normally question the presence of a self. It seems self-evident.
Mm-hmm. 在一般人理解上的我其实是很简单的，什么是我呢？我比如说我的眼睛，我的鼻子，我的身体，我的知识，人们所知道的我，朋友所知道的我。
In the early 80s, when I was a student with Sherfu, he would, in one of our classes, go around and point at us and say, "Who are you? Who are you?" And I didn't know. You know, he pointed at me and I said, "Harry Miller." And he went, "Ah." So what was I supposed to say? Was I supposed to add my middle name, my social security number, my blood type?
在80年代的时候，圣严师父曾经问大家说你是谁，然后当我被问到的时候，我就说我叫 Harry Miller， 但是师父给了我一个不屑一顾的眼神，那我就在想，那我应该怎么说呢？是不是要加上我的中间的名字呢？还是应该再加上我的劳工号码？
So lots of people question the self even in non-Buddhist circles. This idea of who we are can seemoverwhelming and some even silly. There's a comedian named Jackie Mason who went to see a psychiatrist, and he asked the psychiatrist, "How can you help me?" And the psychiatrist said, "Well, I can help you find yourself." And Jackie Mason said, "Why don't you ask my friends? They know where I live."
所以说一般的今天在普通人当中，大家也是一直在挣扎着这个对自我的认识。比如说有一个喜剧演员，美国的一个喜剧演员 Jack Mason，他讲了一个笑话，就是说他有一个人去看他的心理医生，然后那个人就问心理医生，你能为我做什么？然后心理医生说，我可以帮你找到自我。那个人就说，你要找到我啊，那还不简单，你问我的朋友不就行了吗？
So even in Buddha Dharma, even when we study, we practice meditation, we begin with what we have, with our view of ourself set, as we believe it to be. But when we investigate further through reading of the sutras, through practice of meditation, we may begin to see that there are some holes in what we think ourself is. And we often come to this when we meet difficulties in life, sometimes tragedies, setbacks, where feelings of discomfort, of ill ease, of unhappiness arise in us, and we don't exactly know why, and we don't exactly know what to do about it.
所以我们开始探索的时候，一开始也是从一般人对自我的认识这样开始的。然后我们在开始佛法修行、听闻佛法、打坐之后呢，就发现我们一般人对自我的看法当中其实有很多的漏洞。特别是当你人生遇到困难的时候，当你不开心的时候，生病的时候，碰到种种挫折的时候，这种漏洞会更加显现出来。
So we keep looking to find and see what's going on in the world and how we react to it. And we can start to become aware of a kind of intermediary in our experience. We may see a situation, we may size it up and understand it, much like that woman in the restaurant who knows the food is bad, yet something is impelling her to want more of something that she actually doesn't like. We start to see this shadowy figure that we have developed, and there's this intermediary figure, which is something which we'll get into in the talk, which is this false view, this particular view that we have of the self.
所以在我们探索自我的过程当中呢，我们会慢慢的觉察有一种好像有什么不对劲的一种感觉，就像我开始讲的那个故事里边，两个富人，第一个富人觉得食物有问题，这个食物很糟糕，然后就像这样，就是开始会觉得有些什么不对劲。
So the self that I'm talking about, the selves that we have, is it's in a sense it's invisible to us, yet it's everywhere that you look, it's in everything that you see, everything you hear, smell, taste, touch, and think about. This self is present, yet invisible. It is hidden in plain sight.
这个自我呢是看不见摸不着的，但是它又无处不在。
One analogy that comes to mind when I think about this hidden in plain sight is modern physicists' view of gravity. It's something that, according to Einstein, doesn't really exist except as a result of the curvature of space and time. And no one has found gravitons yet, the actual substance of gravity. Yet, gravity itself is an undeniable reality. You drop something, it falls to the ground. It is everywhere, affecting everything. And the self is much like that.
这个自我这个观念啊，它就像它在人们一般的视线当中，它是只是隐藏着一种身份出现的，就好像是我们一般所理解物理学中的重力，因为重力是无时不刻不存在的，如果你丢了什么东西，它必定会落到地上，但是你又看不到重力这样一回事情。
So in order to look at the self from the point of view of Buddha Dharma, we have to look at what's called the three characteristics. And these are the three characteristics of conditioned existence. And what conditioned existence means is that one thing is dependent upon another. It's the phrase often goes, because this is, that comes to be. When this arises, that arises. When this is not, that does not come to be. This ceasing, that ceases. And this is how everything that we see is really a composite of something else. How this clock here is made out of non-clock items. This idea of the contingent world, this is the world that we, in the two truths that I mentioned about, this is the relative truth. This is the world that we live in. This is our world of samsara and of suffering. And these three characteristics, which I'm about to discuss, are a description of how that conditioned world works.
这可以其实用三个特征来讲啊，然后这三个特征根本的一点就是缘起，就是说，如果没有 A 就不会升起 B， 如果有了 A 才会有 B， 然后。任何东西它又是 A 又是有另一样东西 B 或者 C 组成的，就是它没有一个完全独立的存在，都是因缘起而存在啊，这就是我所说的相对真理的一部分，就像我们生活在这个轮回的世界里的相对真理。
So when I talk about the three characteristics, which is this teaching, the doctrine of the three characteristics is common, as far as I know, to all forms of Buddhism. Theravadin, Mahayana, Vajrayana, all forms of Buddhism recognize these three characteristics. I'm going to put a little bit of a Mahayana spin on them when I talk about them, and I'm going to emphasize three points when I talk about the three characteristics. The first point is that all the three characteristics are expressed in negative terms, right? Impermanence, that's not permanent. Dukkha, which is unsatisfactoriness, unease, it's a not easeful, not satisfied, not happy. And then last one, self, is also a negative. It's not the self, no self or non-self, all negative terms to describe this experience.
I'm going to translate into 三法印, is that 三法印? Right, it's a technical term, right?
Yes.
Okay. 这个 Harry 在讲这个三个特征呢，就是我们佛教共同的讲的三法印。这个三法印是南传、北传、藏传都共同有的相信的一个法理。在我讲述三法印的过程当中呢，我将讲一些从大圣的角度来强调三点。 第一呢，我想说的就是这三法印三种叙述的方式都是以否定的方式来叙述的，就是说不满意、不开心不是永恒的、没有自我，都是以否定的方式来陈述。
Usually when we talk about something in the negative, we're saying if it's not this, it's not that. If it's not cold, then it's hot. If it's not short, it's not long. But the way these terms are used, they're not doing that. What the negative is doing in these terms is it's a negative that's removing something. It's like uncovering. There's nothing negative about it. It's showing what is there. It's showing us how we attach to our views of the world. And so what the teaching of the three characteristics is to show us how to not attach, how to remove these attachments, these particular ways that we have of seeing the world.
一般在日常生活中，当我们在用否定的说法在说某样东西的时候，比如说如果不是冷的，那么就会说是热的，不是 A 那么就是 B。 但是在佛法这个三法印的说法当中，它的否定形式呢，并不是说要否定什么然后要建立什么，而是不停的去去除我们的执着，去去掉什么，去掉什么，去掉什么，然后显示出那是什么，是在不断的去除我们对某样东西的执着。
And the last point about all of these three characteristics is that they are all really one thing. There's really just one characteristic. You cannot take impermanence and not have suffering and no self. You can't take no self and not have suffering and impermanence. They're all part and parcel of the same thing, but of course you can't discuss them like that. You have to break it apart for the sake of discussion. But it's helpful to keep in mind that the three characteristics are one thing, and that thing all is pointing to our attachment to our views.
我们讲三法印，讲到无常、无我、苦这三点，其实讲的都是一样东西，都是指向我们的执着、我执。
So, characteristic number one, impermanence, not permanent. Now, first of all, impermanence, there's a very common and well understood and well experienced kind of impermanence common to us all, right? So somebody makes popcorn and there are four of you around. Well, that popcorn has a very short existence in store for it. Everyone's going to eat it. So you have to eat some of the popcorn if you want it, as greedily or not greedily as you can. Otherwise, it's going to be gone. The same way if there's tickets selling out for a concert, impermanence is starting to happen. You have to act, otherwise this opportunity will vanish. You're playing baseball and it's close to evening. There's only a limited time for daylight. You have to finish up and play before you can no longer play. And then finally, the king of all impermanence, of course, is death. Death will is the great party pooper. It will end everything and is the culmination of impermanence.
在讲无常的时候，第一个法印我们就讲无常。然后无常，我们生活中经常会见到这种现象。比如说，如果我们有一包爆米花，有几个人在的话，那爆米花很快就消失了，它就不存在了。然后，如果一个卖票的地方在卖票的话，你要必须赶快买票。如果你不买的话，票也就卖完了，它又是无常的。当然，这最最无常的东西莫过于死亡了。
So now and then, of course, there's a seemingly positive side of impermanence. If you are waiting in line and there's just one person before you, well, your opportunity is almost there. If you have a boss that you don't like and that boss is leaving, well, then impermanence is really quite a good thing, it seems. But both these views of impermanence, the frightening and the desirable, are all associated with attachment. And this is why it's the source of a lot of comic material. Like, I mean, with impermanence and death, that's why Woody Allen said, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be here when it happens.
当然无常也并不都是坏的，比如说，你很想买到那张票，然后在你面前只有一个人排队，那你买到票的机会很大，或者是说你有一个很讨厌的上司，那因为无常的缘故，所以你有很有机会可以，他就不再是你上司，这些都是无常的好的一面。通常我们对无常的恐惧，通常都是由于对跟自我的执着有关的。 就如著名的电影导演伍迪·艾伦曾经说过，我并不害怕死亡，但是我就希望死亡来的时候我不在。
So what is really impermanence, the teaching? What is the teaching about in Buddhism? It's really about our inattentiveness to what's going on. We are caught up in what I talked about just before, our conditioned view of the world. We look at, let's say, this cup as a cup. Fortunately, it has water in it. But if I were to turn this cup over and put a little statue on it, it's no longer a cup. It's a pedestal. All its cupness has disappeared. So we react to the way that we see things. And in one sense, impermanence, things really don't change, right? It's this conditioned view that changes. But we don't live in that world. We live in the world of what we see and how we interpret it. But we are continually attaching to things, and I'll get to that in the next of the three characteristics. We're continually attaching to things, but not being attentive to how they are actually changing. And so that's what impermanence is really about, that that things are changing and we're not aware of it.
Mm. 我们佛法所说的无常啊，其实最主要是说我们并不能觉察到事物在起变化。我们通常都对某些事物都已经形成一套固定的看法和想法。比如说，就我眼前的这个杯子来说吧，如果这个杯子没有水，我就可以把它倒过来；如果倒过来，它的形状可能就不是一个杯子，或者让你联想起另外一些其他什么东西。所以那个杯子就不一定再是杯子。 但是很不幸的是，我们活在一个世界当中，我们对任何的事物都是有固定的想法的，而且对这种固定的执着呢，对这种事物的执着，它又我们又不能察觉到事物在每时每刻都不停的在变化。So
the doctrine of impermanence is not really saying that things, certainly not saying that things are permanent. It's also not saying that things are impermanent. It's talking about how we amass views, we crystallize things in our mind, we hold on to things, we glue one concept to another. So the idea of whether things are changing or not changing, in a sense, is not what impermanence is about. Because, of course, in the Heart Sutra, it says, not born, not destroyed, not impure, not pure, does not increase or decrease. So in this absolute world that we've talked about, There is no change. So impermanence is not really talking about that. It's talking about how we hold on to things.
就说，其实变化也好，不变化也好，从绝对佛法、绝对真理的这个世界的角度来看，其实也是不存在的。就像我们《心经》里所说的，不生不减，不增不灭。但是我们现在所谈的这个无常，是从相对世界，从我们的角度，从我们对事物的执着。
So now we can come to the second characteristic, that of dukkha, wuchang, cool, right, in Chinese. This continues from what's happening with impermanence. Now, this is probably a good place to talk about the causes. And you, as you can see, this you could talk about the three poisons, the causes of why we see the world the way we do. It's hard to say whether it's a chicken or an egg, but these three mistakes that we make of ignorance, greed, and hatred are always present. And we are not perceiving the world as it is changing or not changing. We're not really perceiving what is going on outside, we're really perceiving what is happening inside and not really recognizing that. So we start to hold on to lots of ideas like permanence and self.
接下来我要说的一个法印是关于苦，这里或许也是一个比较合适地方来谈一下苦因，比如说贪嗔痴三毒造成的苦，很多时候是因为我们执着于某一种概念，执着，比如说执着概念和执着自我所造成的。
When I was thinking about doing this talk, and looking at these, aspects of the negative way that the three characteristics are presented, this one of suffering actually gave me a little bit more trouble than the others. I guess I suffered with suffering. And because when you if you talk about impermanence, well, it's simple on the surface. Not permanent, we think things are permanent. No self, well, we think there's a self. So how do you work that opposite in suffering? It's not quite that simple because people don't really say that life is not suffering, that everything is just wonderful all the time. People don't really think that. So in really trying to penetrate what suffering was teaching, it's really about having views of solidity, of certainty, of holding on. And that's why the three poisons are so important, that we are trying to attach to things as we see them. We're trying to push things away that we don't like as we see them. And the world simply doesn't work the way we have come to live in it. The world doesn't work the way that we react to it. So we're continually bumping up against problems and really not understanding what the problem is.
当我在准备这个演讲，在考虑以否三法印是以否定的形式来呈现的时候，我对前面两个我觉得比较顺，比如说无常是因为我们世人是觉得这个世界所有东西都是永恒的，无我是因为我们一直认为有这样一个我。那么，但是这个苦，我觉得有一点稍微有一点点难以理解，因为当我们在说苦的时候，并不是说一般的人就不知道这个世间有苦，不是说一般人都说啊这个世界是没有痛苦的。所以对于苦的理解呢，我们要从苦因，从三毒的角度来说，不是说世人不知道这个世间有苦，而是世人对这个世间的认识呢，他是从一个他自己的角度来看的，就是说他希望他喜欢的东西呢就永恒，他希望排斥他不喜欢的东西。可惜呢，这个世界它存在的方式并不是以它所希望的这样一种方式在运作。
So in the term, of course, for suffering from Sanskrit is dukkha. And in ancient India, it was an Aryan warrior race, among other things, and they had lots of chariots. And the original meaning of the word ka in dukkha was, it can mean sky or hole, but it meant the hole in a wheel, in a carriage wheel. And the du means bad, as opposed to su, which means good. So it's a bad axle hole. And the idea of dukkha is that we get a bumpy ride through life, almost literally. That's how it, and of course, your ride is bumpier if you expect a smooth ride. If you don't, if you react to the world the way that you wish the world would act, then you're continually running into problems.
这个苦字啊，在古印度文当中呢，它其实跟因为古印度时代它有很多骑士啊，有马车，它其实是直接直译的话，它是说有一个马车的轴是坏的意思。当然，当你乘坐在一个马车轴不是很好的时候，你的旅途就不会那么顺利，肯定会比较颠簸。当然，如果你期待这个旅途是很顺利的时候，那你所受的颠簸之苦就更加厉害了。同样的道理，我们所说的苦是指当你希望世界是按照你所期望的方式来运作的时候， 而实际上事业又不是这样运作的，那么你的苦就会更加多。
So instead of living right here in the moment as things are, I want a bigger house, I want more money, I want the best golf ball possible, and I want to be able to hit it further than anyone. Friends, clothes, anything that you can imagine. And I certainly don't want to have a flat tire. I don't want somebody to say no to me. I don't want to have problems in my relationships. I don't want the water to turn off. I don't want to be in a flood. There's a whole variety of things that we are not happy with, and we are continually living in the past with regrets about how we have done things, and we live with nervous expectation about what's going to happen in the future.
相对于我们应该活在现实当中，可是呢，大部分情况下呢，我们确实活在自己的期望当中。比如说，我们期望有大房子，我们期望能够去一个大的高尔夫场，我们不要不好的东西，我们不要跟人相处不好啊，我们不要水灾啊，我们不要爆胎啊，各种各样都是不好的东西都不要。所以我们就活在这样一种期望的世界当中，而不是活在一个现实的世界当中，事情是什么样而是什么样。
So life is continually in flux, this way, that way, passing over us, under us. We can't catch it. It's rolling over us. So what we need in this continual ball of confusion in which we're living in is we need a base of operation.We need some way to hold on. We need some way to make sense of things. And we have to have some way of dealing with these feelings that we have of discomfort, of dis-ease, of desire. And so how do we do this? Well, what happens is in this whole mix and flux, we start to develop a sense of solidity.We need a little bit of a refuge. It's not the Buddhist refuge, but we need a refuge. We need something that we can relate to, and that something is the sense of self.
所以在这个人生川流不息、不断变化的每一个瞬间啊，我们都想抓住一些什么东西，我们想抓住抓住一样东西，然后能够让我们喘一口气，让我们歇一下。而这个东西呢，很多人。就认为就把它归结我自我抓住我这样一个概念。
Okay, so this is so we have a sense of self and we look at other people in much the same way as really being distinct from us. That there's just like this cup is made out of non-cup things and is related to everything. Well, there is that relationship between us and others. There is of course this is.Don't have time to go into it quite the way I might like, but there is, of course, the idea of emptiness, that things are empty of these. The views that we have of the world don't really stand up, and we really are related to each other in a very close way, but we don't see it, and we try to protect our particular view of the world, our mind, our thoughts, our body.
所以在形成了我这样一个概念以后呢，它也以这样的概念呢组成了其他的概念，比如说他人，这是我，这是他人，然后我和他人之间呢会有一个交往，会有一个关系在互动。这里当然也可以涉及到空的概念，当然我不会过多的谈这个概念。但由于我他人这个关系的建立都是建立在自己的一种期望的观念上的，所以他在互动的时候也是以这种关系为基础。
Nonetheless, this all seems sort of ridiculous. How can I not be me? Sitting here, I'm talking. How can there be all these questions? I mean, it should be really crystal clear.But there's a sutta, a sermon the Buddha gave called the Anattalaka Sutta, where the Buddha discusses this idea of the self. Where is it? What is it? How do we relate to it? And he does it in a very simple manner. And this was delivered supposedly about 7 weeks after his enlightenment, his second talk. He's talking to the five mendicants who accompanied him at first when he was practicing before he reached Buddhahood. So he starts talking about the body, the idea that this is my body. So he said, well, if this body was you, if you were the body, then you could do with it what you like. You could say, I would like the body to be this way. I would not like it to be that way. But it turns out we can't do that. We can't control the body that way. And if we could, if the body was me, well, I wouldn't let my body get sick. I wouldn't let it get old. As a matter of fact, if I was the body, well, I'd have a body that was about 6'6" with ripped muscles and about 40 years younger than I. Why not? My body? It doesn't quite work that way.
但是你我们说了这么久，你又会觉得很奇怪，说怎么可能没有我呢？我现在不就坐在这里呢？其实佛陀在他开悟七周以后的第二次演讲的时候，在谈话的时候，他其实讲到过这个佛法角度来说，怎么理解我，怎么理解我跟我身体的关系之类的。就比如说，身体怎么看身体不是我呢？如果身体是你的话，那么你应该是可以控制的。比如说，你应该想让它变成什么样，它就可以变成什么样子。而且，如果身体就是你的话，你应该可以让它不要生病，不要变老。
So, this, and then the Buddha continues after the body, he goes through sensation, perception, volition, and then just to come to consciousness, your mind. If your mind, your consciousness was you, absolutely, totally, 100%, you would be happy all the time. You would not let yourself get depressed. You would not let your mind get tired. You would not let your mind become confused. You would be clear 100% of the time, and it's simply not the case.
然后佛陀在继续讲解释的时候，他讲到受想行识，如果这些都是你的话，比如说最后心念如果也是你的话，那么你就应该可以控制，你就不会有不开心的时候，也不会有困惑的时候。但是我们都知道实际情况不是这样子的。
There's another sutta called the All, and what the All is Buddha is cataloging everything that is actually experienceable in conditioned experience. And this is a really, really short sutta, because the All is the eyes and what is seen, the ears and what is heard, the nose and what is smelled, the tongue and what is tasted, the body and what is touched, and the mind and what is thought. So that's it. So, you know, I look in the sutta, how come my name isn't in that sutta? I mean, where is the self? There's no mention of a self in all of this flux. And this is the all, and there is nothing outside of that, as the Buddha said.
然后在另一个佛陀在另一个佛经里边也说过，其实这可以体验的，这个缘起的世界里的一切都是可以体验的，比如说眼睛。眼睛就是你所看到的东西，鼻子就是你所闻到的东西，你的舌头就是你所尝到的一种味觉的东西。然后在所有的佛经里边，在这个川流不息、不停的流动的这个世界里边，他没有提到我。
So there's a form of vipassana meditation that they practice in the Theravada school. It's really very close to the silent illumination that we practice here at CMC. And this form of meditation consists of sitting with a quiet mind and observing everything that arises in your mind and labeling it. So if you're sitting and your leg hurts, you say to yourself, pain, pain. If you hear a bird singing, you say to yourself, hearing, hearing. If you're thinking or obsessing about something, you say to yourself, thinking, thinking. Now, of course, this is not meant to label the object of what you're sensing. It's meant to label the process. But once again, in all these things, as you sit, nothing will ever come up that says self, self. But in a sense, everything that is coming up is self, self. And the issue, it's as I said, it's hidden in plain sight, everywhere but invisible. And the task, in a sense, is it's like, how does a fish know that it's wet when everything around the fish is water?
比如说在在南传佛教当中有一种止观法门，它跟我们北传在我们跟汉传佛教当中的默照是非常相似的。它的方法是观察自己的心念，在一个非不静静的坐着，然后开始观察一切在内心深处内心中升起的心念，然后给它贴标签。我们比如说你感觉到你的腿痛了，你就贴标签，痛痛，当痛升起的时候你就说痛痛，然后当你听到鸟叫的时候你就听到声音声音。但是你会发现我们不是在给这个痛贴标签，而是在给这个痛升起的过程，是你在察觉自己心念这个过程在贴标签。然后你会发现其实没有一样东西你会去贴标签贴成我在升起，所以我没有这样的贴法。但实际上一切呢又都是我，所有的心念又都是我。所以这就好比一条鱼啊，在水里边，然后鱼怎么知道自己湿了没有呢？因为它所围绕的都是水，就像我们所围绕都是我，所以你也不知道，像这条鱼一样。
So once again, when we're talking about the self, we're talking about yous. So if we look at the Diamond Sutra, and it's in the third chapter when the Buddha is explaining to Subhuti how a bodhisattva should comport himself or herself and make a vow to save all sentient beings of any type without remainder. Buddha makes this very clear. But then he says, verily, no sentient being has been saved. Why? Because a bodhisattva who believes in a self and other sentient beings or lifespan is no bodhisattva.
Yeah, 在《金刚经》当中呢，佛陀其实也讲到过这个问题。讲当他在解释如何可以发愿度所有众生的时候，佛陀讲到，其实没有众生可度。为什么呢？因为当这个菩萨认为有存在菩萨这个人，存在菩萨，然后存在众生可度的时候，他就不是菩萨。
So when I first encountered the Diamond Sutra a long time ago, I mean, I simply didn't understand this. I looked at it and said, what? I don't exist? So I felt like calling up my friend saying, Joe, I know you're supposed to have dinner, but I can't show up because I don't exist. And actually, to show how absurd this idea, it's interesting, and I'll penetrate a little more, this idea that we don't exist, it just reminded me of a cartoon I saw when I was young, which showed an explorer in Africa who's telling everybody about his exploits. And there's an audience around him. Everybody is listening to every single word he says. They're rapt. And he says, I was in the jungle, and I was surrounded by cannibals. And then he said, and then what happened? And then they caught me. Yes. And they tied me up. Yes, then what happened? They threw me into a cauldron of boiling water. Then what happened? And he looks at them like, well, they ate me, of course.
当我在看到《金刚经》这句话的时候，我开始是不理解的，不明白，什么意思？难道说怎么会没有我呢？比如说我打电话给我的朋友说，嘿，我知道我今天本来跟你约好，可是我现在不能来，因为我不存在，所以我没办法来。这就让我想起了在我曾经小时候看到的过的一个卡通，就是说有一个人到非洲去，然后他在讲述他在非洲的经历的时候，给一群听众在讲述他在非洲经历的时候，就说我在非洲丛林当中碰到一群食肉族，然后他们把我抓起来捆绑起来，然后丢进一个油锅里边，然后大家说啊，然后呢，然后那个人就说，当然把我吃了啦。
So the idea, I mean, even though you can sort of entertain that absurd idea, what does it really mean? If you think that you don't exist, well, obviously you couldn't not exist and think that thought. But what it's really talking about is this thing that we all know and we all would seek to deny, is that at some point we won't exist, at least in the way we are now. There will be a big change coming. And it's like there was a movie, Break a Morant, where the main character says, if you live every day as if it's your last, one day you're sure to be right.
当然这样荒唐的想法啊，就是我有时候看似荒唐，但它也有它正确的地方。比如说因为总有一天这个对我的这个认识会发生变化。就比如说曾经有一个人说，如果你总是把今天当成你生命的最后一天的话，你总有一天会正确的。
So we apply we're continually in a state of denial about what's really going on. We all know that that we're liable to old age, sickness, and death, but we really seek to distract ourselves, and in so doing, we take this idea we have of a self, and we make it even stronger. And actually, there's a word that you often encounter in Buddhist circles, which is a self-making, and sometimes it's called selfing. And I think there's a simple formula, which is selfing equals suffering.
So 很多人都是活在一种不愿意面对现实的这样一种状态当中。虽然大家都知道人会老，会死去，但是始终是不愿意面对这样一个现实，始终不停地在找一些事情能够分散自己的注意力。在这个佛教世界当中，我们的术语叫制造自我，但是我觉得这个制造自我简直就是痛苦的代名词。
So one of Guoxin Fosher gives his teachings, and he's often talking about how one thought that we have will lead to another thought, and that to another thought, and one becomes subject and object. One of the things that he often says is we look at the world, we look at outside, and we take it as ourself. And when he first said that, when I first encountered it, I simply couldn't understand it. I would say, all right, fine. I can see taking my body as myself, and perhaps my thoughts as myself, but the wall over there, I mean, it's not part of my body, it's not part of my mind. How could that possibly be myself? But it's true. It's not that the wall is part of my body or my mind or your body, but the thing is that I recognize it according to my own conditioning. I see it as a wall and nothing else but a wall, and I don't recognize that there was a certain point, maybe not that long ago, when that what I see now was dirt in the ground or a tree growing in the forest. It wasn't a wall, and it's serving this function right now at this moment as a wall, but we don't know how long that is going to happen. So just the way that I take a sense of myself, who I am, I come up with ideas about it, which about who I am and how I want to protect myself, how I want to portray myself in the world. In the same way, I look at the world, even inanimate objects, and I put my own self stamp on everything and everybody that I see.
就比如说国行法师以前一直会说，我们如果前念一念引起后一念，前念引起后一念，然后把看到的所有的或体验到的所有东西都当成我。开始的时候不太理解这种说法， 因为我可以理解啊，一般人会把身体当成我，把自己的念头心念当成是我。可是比如说我看到这堵墙，这堵墙怎么会是我呢？到后来我才发现，的确当我看在看这堵墙的时候，其实我还是加入了我的认知，因为我看到的就只是墙，是因为我对墙形成了这样一种概念，是从中我的角度来出发的。但实际上这堵墙可能不久以前它可能只是泥土，或者只是树木而已，它这现在只是暂时的作为一堵墙的功用在发挥效力，而且在不久以后可能它又不是一堵墙了。但是啊，这些我都没有看到。
Many of you have beenon retreats with some of the Chan masters here, with Hoshin Fosher or Guoru Fosher. And it's a very common practice when we're doing walking meditation. The Chan master will come over to us and say, who's walking there? Or if you're sitting down in meditation, who's sitting? Who's lying down? You're eating lunch. Who's eating? AndOnce again, when you first encounter this, I mean, it's just very puzzling. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Go back to Wikipedia and look up and say, all right, let me tell you what constitutes me, and you come back and you hand in a report. What I think is really going on when we ask that question to ourselves and of ourselves is we're really interrupting this process of selfing.We're really looking at what's going on. And once again, we have a very dualistic sense of the world, right? And dualism, right, seeing things as separate from one another, seeing as, you know, I and thou, seeing things as long and short, making distinctions the way that we do, that all comes from having this sense of self, which needsdualism to survive. So when we're asking who's sitting there or who's walking, that's an invitation to look. It's not really an invitation to give an answer, a conventional answer.
Mm-hmm. 很多人啊，我们当中很多人都去过香港禅修中心。然后我们在经行的时候，或者是在打坐的时候，啊，或者是在吃饭的时候，法师经常会问：谁在经行？谁在打坐？谁在吃饭？一开始的时候，我听到这种问题的时候，我通常会感到很迷惑或者不知所措。我到底该怎么回答呢？难道我要去网上查一下百科全书到底什么是我？但是后来我才发现。他这样的问法呢，我在想，他真实的希望产生的效用，不是说真的希望你提出一个真的提供一个答案，而是说在打断我们一直惯常的连绵不断的这种产生自我的一个过程，这个二元对立的过程。因为我们时时刻刻都是在一个二元对立的概念，在二元对立的世界里边，有我有你，有长有短，这样一个二元对立的世界。而二元对立世界产生的基础呢，就是因为我的存在，有自我这样一个概念。如果当你突然这样发问，你打断这样一个平时习惯性的思维方式的时候，就相当于打断这个二元对立的链条。如果没有我的话，就是没有二元对立。
So, questions don't necessarily have to have answers. Answers don't necessarily have to have questions. They function in a particular way, especially in practice. And this is something that we've answered. You can answer it immediately. You always know the answer. One tenet very important in Chan is that our true self, our Buddha nature, is always present. Now, it's a question of how we come to recognize this. But as we are asking these questions, as we are investigating, as we are meditating, as we're studying the Dharma, this is an unfolding process, this discovery of the self. So,When people talk about what the self really is or isn't, oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, okay, the self is really It's an activity. The self is a process. It's what is operative in a given moment. But remember, any of those words I use, the process and activity, operative, we can very easily attach to those as well.
Mm-hmm. 所以呢，有些时候在禅修过程当中啊，有他提出问题，问题不一定是要有答案，而有些答案也不一定一定要有问题。就好像在佛法当中，我们经常有这样一种信念，是说我们佛法的本性始终是与我们存，是与我们常在的、同在的。但是，对自我的这样的认识呢，是一个不断展开的过程。有些时候，这个自我它只是一个活动，或者是一个过程，或者是一个当下在一个运作的东西。但是，我们还是会执着这个当下运作的东西，或者是过程。
Okay, so the self doesn't exist. We solve that problem. Oh, really? Well, let's say you take a course in accounting. I could pick anything, but you go in the first day, and the teacher explains credits and debits and tells you what a general ledger is. Fine. You come back the next day. What would you come back with? There's no self. You wouldn't be able to carry that information, right? You wouldn't. How could you have learned anything, and how could you then bring it into the future with no self? Right? And if there were no self, who would be practicing? Who or what or how would enlightenment be reached?
Okay, 好的，这样的话，那我们就解决这个问题了，自我不存在。但是真的吗？比如说你在上一门会计课程，你今天学了什么叫借记，什么叫贷记，然后第二天你回到课堂，可是如果没有我的话，那谁把这些知识，把昨天学的知识继续带入今天的课程当中呢？如果没有我的话，谁又能够最后来真正开悟呢？
So various schools of Buddhism deal with this issue. There's the Tathagata Garba school, which really posits that we have Buddha nature. Of course, when you say we and Buddha nature, and you have to put some verb or some preposition between them, it's always a little difficult. Do we have Buddha nature? Is it inside of us? Do we express it? Is it our nature? This is something that is difficult to put into words.
当然不同学说对我和佛性这里边关系呢有不同的说法。比较有名的像如来藏学说，就讲我们都是有佛性的，但是从我们到佛性这里一个关系呢，又简直难以用语言来描述。到底是佛性在我们里边呢，还是佛性从我们当中显现出来呢？
So in the Mahaparinirvana Sutra, the Buddha talks about a true self, true happiness, true permanence, and true purity. And actually uses the, when it's translated in Sanskrit, Atman, the thing that is the seemingly opposite of anatta, of no self. He says quite succinctly that there is for sure what, right, the true self.
Yeah, okay. 佛在大涅槃经当中，就讲到就是一个真实的自我，就是 yeah. 所以佛在大涅槃经讲到一个真我，讲到真我真实的快乐，还有真实的存在。
So in this sutra, the Buddha actually says that sentient beings are not necessarily comfortable with this teaching of no self. So it could be an expedient teaching. It's if anything that gets someone to practice and to investigate. In one sense, you really can't give somebody the wrong information if they're going to investigate for themselves. They will find out whether there is a self or no self or both or neither in the course of treading the path.
在这部经当中呢，佛提到众生其实不太习惯说没有我，然后当你会就众生会在这个不断探索这个我这个过程当中呢，最后能够意识到到底是有我还是无我，对我的这样一个状态。
So when you get to Dogen Zenji and he talks about these issues of the self, for him everything is Buddha nature. The sentient beings, the practice, blades of grass, the sky, all is one and the same Dharmakaya, the all pervading Buddha nature.
在日本的道元禅师的说法当中呢，他认为所有的东西都是佛性，众生啊，花一花一石，一鸟一树都是佛性。
So I want to give a quote from Shantideva, who was a 6th century Indian scholar. And he said, all happiness in the world comes from helping others. All suffering comes from helping the self.
在这里我想提到印度寂天菩萨的两句名言，一切的快乐呢都是来自于帮助别人，而一切的痛苦呢都是来源于帮助自己。
Right, so and the reason I give this quote at least now is because it can really be misinterpreted. Right? So does that mean if you come home after a hard day and you get something to drink for yourself and you sit down and you turn on the TV that you are indulging yourself and you are creating suffering? Well, the answer, I mean, maybe a little bit, but once again, it's very important to understand that this teaching of no self is about holding on to things. It's about recognizing our attachment to all ideas, and of course, as I said, the king of ideas, the king of illusions, is the self. So it's very important to understand that we can live our lives. We all have a certain lifespan that we're given. We have talents and liabilities and a course of an ordinary life that we pursue. And we try to pursue it according to the Eightfold Path, trying to make our living properly, to be correct in speech and in action, and to develop wisdom. And be on the path through practicing meditation. And we have to be very gentle with ourselves. We have to understand that, if we see an egg, you don't just ask for a chicken instantly. It's a process. So this idea of always trying to help the self, creating suffering, I mean, this is quite true, but it really has to be understood in the sense that it was given.
当然我之所以提到寂天菩萨两句名言的时候呢，我也想提一下，就是这两句名言其实也很容易被误解。比如说我下班回来，下了一天，上了一天班很累，下班回来坐在沙发上开开电视，吃点东西享受一下，就是享受是不对的吗？但是所以我们要理解到，我们这里不是说对自己好一点有什么问题，而是说不要执着。我们讨论的始终围绕的是执着这个问题，不要执着于那种东西，那种感受。当然我们在对自己也应该是一个缓慢的一个过程，是一个宽容的缓慢的一个谅解的过程。在我们日常生活当中，我们也是一直八正道、正命然后是对自己的身口意有所观察，不说恶语之类的。
So some practical examples. Last week, actually, I had a friend over for dinner. He asked for some juice. So I took out a glass and gave it to him. And it just so happened this juice that I gave him, it's watermelon juice, very expensive. So he started to pour some, and the thought arose in my mind, I hope he doesn't drink too much. This stuff is expensive. So let's hold this thought in suspended animation, as it were, and look at where I could have gone with it. I could have distracted him, taken the bottle of juice, hid it in the closet, and thrown a towel over it. And then he turned and asked for some more, and I could say, I must have misplaced it. Why don't you have some of this nice water that I import from the Catskills? It comes right out of the tap in my sink.
让我来举一个例子，比如说有一天有一个朋友来我家玩，然后我就倒了一些西瓜汁给他，这个西瓜汁呢非常贵，然后我心里就在想，哎，最好他不要喝太多，这个西瓜汁挺贵的。然后如果我们是在看一个动画片的话，我们就再次打住，然后看一下接下来故事会如何发展。我可以这样子，我可以呢把西瓜汁藏起来，然后盖上一块毛巾啊，然后当我朋友再要的时候，我就说，哎，我也不知道我把西瓜汁放到哪里了，要不你就喝这个我从这个上周带下来天然矿泉水吧。实际上这天然矿泉水就是我家的自来水而已。
Or and I could have done something else. You take the thought of suspended animation one more time, and I could have said to myselfBoy, what kind of a Buddhist am I? That's a greedy, avaricious, clinging, ungenerous thought. Bad, terrible, awful.
或者呢，故事也又可以这样发展。或者在那个当下呢，我就会说，哎呀，我怎么这么贪婪呢？太吝啬了，实在不是一个好的佛教徒。
But what I actually did is I saw the thought arising in my mind. I felt the unpleasantness, right? It's a clinging thought, so there was some unpleasantness. And I noted that and what the possibilities were, but I kind of let it go, and I said to him, take as much as you like. Right. So that the idea is that we're Buddhists, not Buddhas. Right?If we didn't have greed, hatred, and ignorance, if we didn't have a sense of self, we wouldn't be here. We would be floating somewhere and probably a little bit happier than we are now, right? So this is quite ordinary, and this is really the study of the self. I mean, we've got it. It's silly to deny that we have all of this conditioning.And these fears and desires that have brought us to where we are, what we have to do is look at them.
那么刚刚说了两种动画形式呢，动画的可能性，那到底是发生了什么呢？到底我当时是怎么做的呢？实际发生的事情是这样子，当下呢，我就觉察到了这个不愉快的、不愉悦的一种心念，这个因为这个心念是跟贪和执着相应的，所以它起来的时候的感觉是一种不愉快的感觉。但是我察觉了到这个自己的这样的心念，我实际做的呢是我对这个朋友说，你想喝多少就喝多少好了。但是我也没有像第二种场景责怪自己说自己如何贪啊，如何不好，因为我们是佛教徒，我们不是佛。如果我们是佛的话，我们可能今天都不会坐在这里，都在哪个地方飘着了。所以我们所需要做的呢，其实不是说批判自己有多坏、多贪婪，也不是也不是真的要去采取不好的行动，而我们要做的实际上只需要察觉当下的那个念头就可以了。
So as a Dharma lecturer, it's this is not an image that I'd like to project. I would like to project an image of loving kindness and warmth and wisdom. So recognizing that once again is important. That yes, I have a self-image, And yes, it is always trying to come out. And it is very, very concerned with other people's opinions, with my own opinion. And rather than look at this as a vehicle for self-condemnation, it really can be a vehicle for self-liberation by recognizing what's going on.
所以说呢，我觉得察觉当下那个念头呢是非常重要的，因为这样一件事情呢，可以被作为是一种自我谴责、自我批判的一个过程，但实际上呢，也可以把以此作为一个自我察觉自己念头的一个机会，当然作为佛教徒，或者说在我在给这样一个佛教讲座的时候，我当然是希望。只说啊，我是如何如何慈爱啊，如何如何的慈悲。但现实生活当中，我们有时就是会有这样的念头。
So when Dogen Zenji said to study Buddha Dharma is to study the self, and to study the self is to forget the self, and to forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. He's recognizing that process. So.You know, many of us have heard this a number of times, but just to drill down on what does it mean to forget the self? Well, it's not something you can do in an instant, right? Where you have a lot of conditioning, a lot of ideas and concepts and said, fears and desires to, in us. They're not going to go away with a wave of a hand. So...Forgetting is to begin this process of not attaching, of observing, of recognizing, mindfully observing, and not interfering with what comes up in the mind, but not not attaching to it, not listening to it either, to really be very, very clear.
对，日本道元禅师曾经说过呢，学习佛法呢，其实就是学习认识自我的一个过程。然后要认识自我呢，首先就要忘了自我，忘了自我，最后才能够这个整个开悟。然后如何是忘了自我呢？忘了自我就是强调要不断的观察自己，要不断的觉察，在觉察到自己的心念的时候呢。也不要加以干涉，也不要跟着他走，只是觉察，不断的觉察。
And also very important in that quote from Dogen, the self is mentioned three times. So he's not saying what are you talking about? He's recognizing very clearly that it exists in a certain way, and of course it exists because.We make it exist in the way that we do make it exist, according to our conditioning, to our experience, to our understanding, and to all of our misgivings and hopes and our views about the world and our life.
大家可以注意到，这个道元禅师在讲这句话的时候，他提到了三次我，也就是说，从他的角度来看，他并不否定我。我这样一种概念暂时性的存在，因为从众生的，从我们大众的体验来说，我是存在的，是有这样一个东西的。
So there was a disciple of the Buddha named Moggaharaja who came to the Buddha with a question, which was, To him of the supreme vision, I have come with this question.How should one regard the world so that one is not seen by the king of death? And the Buddha said, Look upon the world as empty, Moggaraja, ever mindful, uprooting the view of self, you may thus be one who overcomes death. So regarding the world, one is not seen by the king of death.You look at everything and you say, this is not me, this is not mine, I am not this.
有一天呢，佛的弟子呢，他就问佛，他说， 我有一个问题啊，我们如何对待这个世界，看世界一种角度啊，能够达到一种最后不被死亡之神看到的这样一个效果呢？我们如何来看待世界，最后我们可以不被死亡之神看到呢？然后佛陀就说，那你就应该把这个世界呢看成是空的啊，但是也是非常觉察，带有觉察性的去看这个世界，非常注意的看，去除呢你对自我的这样一种观念，只有这样子的你就可以超越死亡了，因为从这样的角度来看世界呢，你就不会被死亡之神所看到了。所以你看着周围所有的事情说啊，这个不是我，那个不是我，我不是这个。
We have possessions, but how do we have them? We have relationships, but how do we have them? We have a self, but how do we have it? How do we deal with it? How are we listening to it? How are we not listening to it? This is the path of our practice, at least right now as ordinary sentient beings.
我们活在这个世界上呢，我们有自己的财物，我们有与人相处的各种各样的关系，我们还有这样一个自我。那么作为我们众生来说，我们到底应该如何和这些财物啊、其他人啊、关系啊，还有自我相处呢？这就是我们的修行。
So one teacher described this process as, my wisdom tells me I'm nothing. My love and compassion tells me I'm everything. And between these two, my life flows.
我的智慧呢告诉我，有一个人有这样一句名言说，我的智慧呢告诉我实际上是无我的，没有我。但是我的慈爱、我的慈悲和我的爱心呢，又告诉我是有我的，然后其他一切呢，都在这两者之间自然流动。
Okay, so that really concludes my talk, and I'd be very happy to entertain questions if anyone has.
好，今天我的讲座就到这里啊， 我欢迎大家如果有问题的话，现在可以提出来。
I'll repeat the question. Okay.
Hello? Okay, the Heart Sutras breaks up, deconstructs things. This is kind of related to the talk, I think. And if it's not, you would probably know the answer anyhow. There is no... there's no consciousness. There's no... I, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, sight, self, sight, there's no realm of the eye, all the way up to no realm of mental cognition. There's no consciousness, there's none of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I've heard that when you're enlightened, what's left is like compassion, awareness. But how are there these things?
I think I understand your question. You mean wisdom and compassion, how do those...
Yeah, if there's no consciousness, but there's awareness, I guess there's a difference between consciousness and awareness, definition-wise.
There's a lot of discussion about consciousness and awareness. One teacher calls consciousness the awareness of awareness. When I first started studying, I had a teacher who said that one definition of enlightenment is the absence of consciousness. But you can also find that in the Mahayana, where it says that consciousness is transformed into wisdom, and consciousness, I mean, an enlightened person is still conscious. What I think I'm talking about in this talk is about removing everything that we've put there, that we didn't know we put there. And then when that's removed, when that's gone, then you can look at what is there. That is the self nature. And then when you start to try to use labels to describe it, then it gets difficult. But from what, from reading the sutras, of course, the the Buddha embodies wisdom and compassion. It is a natural response to the world. And the only reason we don't act that way is because we have this sense of self which is continually getting in our way. At least at this point in my practice, that's about as far as I can go with it, I think.
所以 Robert 菩萨呢问了一个问题，是说《心经》里边不是提到无眼而必是生意，无色声香味触法，无意识也无意识，然后无什么什么。那么如果说连意识都没有了，那为什么最后还会有慈悲和智慧呢？就是说这个慈悲和智慧难道不是要通过意识来体验到、察觉到的吗？然后，这个 Harry 菩萨他的解释是，就是这个英语单词里的 consciousness， 我们就是说是意识，意识和最后我们能够察觉，它心的功能不是能够察觉吗？这两者之间当然是有一定的区别，不同也有很多不同的学说，有人认为是意识是察觉的察觉，是，然后他强调。即便你没有意识，他认为最后大菩萨、佛菩萨还是有，当然是有意识的，但是他们的慈悲和智慧是自然升起。但是从我们今天讲座角度来说，我们强调的是不断的舍掉东西，就是舍掉我们放上去的各种各样的观念啊，不断的舍掉这些东西之后呢，你就会自然而然见到你的本性。然后呢，见到本性之后，你再回过来看，你就会发现以前我们都在贴标签，对各种各样的观念在贴标签。
Okay. I just want to say I'd like to compliment you on your shirt matching the tablecloth.
I've been planning that for Kalpas.
对 Robert 菩萨说呢，这个他刚刚发现有人说他今天穿这个衣服跟这个桌布是一套的。然后哈尔菩萨说他其实在无量劫以前就已经在考虑今天一定要跟这个桌布配套。
You know, another thing to add, you know, something from the Dhammapada, which is that the Buddha said that the man who conquers 100,000 warriors in battle is nothing compared to the man who conquers himself. So this great matter that we're discussing is non-trivial. And it's just something we should always keep in mind.
最后呢，我想提到《法句经》当中讲到一句话，是说一个征服了上千万军队的人呢，其实还是比不过一个能够征服自己的人。所以今天我们讲的自我这个问题不是一个小问题。
So everyone's doubts are assuaged, and which is good. And I want to thank everyone for coming and listening. And thank you very much.
我想再次感谢大家来听讲座。